It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Stay tuned for an hour of adventure. Later on, we hear the story Macau on Escape. But right now, the story Deepwater on High Adventure. The episode features actor Maurice Tarplin, who you might recognize as radio's mysterious traveler, the narrator for that series, which he played on Mutual from 1943 through 1952. He's joined by John Larkin and Connie Lemke from June 4th, 1950 on NBC.
His hand closed on my airline as I fought for breath inside my diving helmet. The suit pressed tight against me as I used up what little air was left. I had to break his grasp. I had to if I was going to live.
This is Deep Water, a sea story of the one thrilling moment in a man's life that can only be called High Adventure. High Adventure, the top of the world in action drama for men. Now to the high adventure story, Deep Water, written and directed by Robert Monroe and told by the man who lived it, Mark Johnson.
I guess Liz and I were meant for each other, corny as it sounds. I never thought she'd wait for me with the war and everything, but she did. That's the kind of gal she is. Not that I didn't expect to come back. Navy salvage diver isn't exposed to terrific danger, at least not from bullets anyway. It was just that there were so many other guys that wanted her. When I stepped off the train in Grand Central Station, there she was, and it was just like I'd never been away. We were married inside of a week, and the world looked like one big, beautiful oyster. The war was over, we were in love, and there didn't seem to be anything that could stop us. I'd done some diving before the war, and Liz had taken a crack at it, too. We'd always talked about hunting for sunken treasure in the Caribbean or someplace, and, well, we just started making plans right away. We bought a surplus PT boat, ripped out the heavy engines, and stuck in a diesel so the two of us could handle it. We got a hold of a couple of surplus diving rigs, stocked up, and took off. First month didn't net us anything, but we were having fun, so what was the difference? We've been out for a week, and we're heading back into Puerto Plata for supplies.
Take it easy.
What?
Take it easy.
Well, that's a fine way for a sailor to talk. It's supposed to say slack off.
What?
Nothing.
Well, take it easy and watch what you're doing.
What are you going to do, rewrite the book?
I can't hear you.
All right. Hang on. All right, jump up and get the forward line.
Aye, aye, sir.
How you doing?
Got it.
All right, I'll get the aft line.
Okay. Need any help?
No, I got it.
Now, what were you saying?
I said you're the best-looking sailor in the whole Navy.
Bet you did.
Honest.
Bet you were being critical again.
No, I wasn't.
What'd I say wrong?
Nothing.
Come on, what'd I say?
Nothing, honey.
All right, smarty, just for that, I won't cook your dinner for you.
In the Navy, it's chow.
Dinner, chow. What's the difference? You gotta take me out.
I was going to anyway.
Oh, tired of my cooking already, huh?
Get down there and put on your face.
I'm going just like this.
Oh, that's what I love about you. You're so formal.
Come on, I'm starved. Where to?
Joe's?
Perfect.
Hey, honey, look at that cruiser.
Where?
Next wharf. Isn't she a beauty?
Yeah, what is it?
Chris Craft, I think.
That's something.
Come on, let's go and see it, huh?
Over my hungry stomach.
Oh, now,
we'll come back after we eat.
Hey, women.
Stop looking like an abused setter. I'm hungry.
All right. Feel okay?
Mm-hmm.
Happy?
Mm-hmm. You?
Couldn't be more. Come on.
Hey, Joe, we're back.
Oh, Senor Johnson, please, my name is Jose.
That's what I said, Joe.
No, Jose.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Stop it, Mark.
Well, that's what...
Stop it.
Thank you, Senor. Now dinner, see?
Ciao.
What's this?
Dinner.
Oh, see, the table in the window?
Sure, it's fine.
And now... what will you have?
I want a huge lobster and any vegetables you've got.
Senor?
The same.
Two lobster and...
The way she eats, you'd never think she blew up a couple of days ago, would you, Jose?
What is this, blew up?
Oh, it's nothing, Jose. I was down below, my exhaust valve stuck, and my suit blew up just like a balloon. I popped up the surface. Now you go get our dinner, huh?
Blew up, Joe.
Oh, I love that old guy.
You shouldn't tease him.
Ah, he doesn't mind.
I know, but
excuse me, but did I hear someone say something about blowing up?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you're Mark Johnson, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm Harry Paulson.
How do you do? This is my wife.
Hello.
Hello, Mrs. Johnson. I've been waiting for you.
Oh?
Yeah, you see, when I heard you were doing some diving, well, I used to dive myself.
Oh, well, pull up a chair.
Thank you. Hey, I noticed you stopped and looked at my boat on the way up.
That Chris Craft yours?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, hey, that's some sled.
Thank you.
What'll she do?
Well, I never really opened her up, but they claim she's good for 38.
Wow.
Like to look it over after dinner?
Oh, and how? Okay, honey?
Now, aren't you glad you waited?
Yeah.
Who blew up?
Oh, that was nothing. I was just kidding Liz here.
Wasn't a joke to me.
Well, what happened?
Well, her exhaust valve jammed, and before she could do anything, she blew topside.
Well, how deep?
It was only about 10 fathoms.
I've seen divers get the bends in 10 feet of water, much less 60 or 70.
Well, Liz here's tough. I put her right down again and decompressed her slowly.
It was nothing.
Yeah, you were lucky, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, I don't know.
What are you diving for?
Anything we find.
Jose said you were working Silver Shoals.
He did?
The plate fleet. That's what everyone's after.
Yeah, I guess so.
How much is supposed to be down there?
19 million, they say.
Oh, I made a try for it myself once.
Well, I wonder what's keeping Joe with the food.
Don't be impatient. It takes time to broil a lobster.
Yeah.
I'd like to join up with you, Johnson.
Oh, well, yeah, we really don't.
I know these waters pretty well. I think I might be useful.
Oh, it isn't that.
Besides, I'm an experienced diver.
Yeah, I know, but...
What do you say?
Well, you see, this is sort of a honeymoon for us.
Oh, I understand.
Why not, Mark?
Huh?
I mean it. Mr. Paulson
Look, call me Harry, huh?
He could help a lot.
How?
Frightens me a little when you're down there, if anything should happen to you. Well, I just don't know enough about it yet.
Well, Liz, this is our...
I know, but we're an old married couple now. I'd be a lot happier.
You mean that?
Yes, Mark.
Oh, let's forget the whole thing, huh? I'm sorry I brought it up.
No. It's all right with Liz. It's all right with me.
Well, I feel funny.
No
about
need
the whole...
to. No need to. It's all set.
You sure?
Sure, sure. Okay, Liz?
Sure, honey.
I better get my gear together. When are we shoving off?
First thing in the morning, as soon as we're stocked.
I'll be ready. But don't forget to stop over and see the boat after dinner.
Kind of tired. Think I'll go right to bed.
Look, maybe...
Mark will be over, though.
You better count me out, too, Paulson.
Okay. I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah. Sure. Liz and I didn't talk much that night when we got back to the boat, but after we turned out the light, I lay there thinking, and I decided I'd been pretty much of a horse's neck to act the way I did. Maybe Liz was right. After all, she was a woman, and I guess they worry about things that never enter a man's head. Made up my mind I was going to apologize first thing in the morning. When I woke up, I looked at my watch and realized I'd overslept an hour. I looked over at Liz's bunk, but it was empty. She wasn't anywhere in the boat either. Funny, she'd never done that before. I ducked into the galley and got the coffee going. There's one... Two, three, now a match. Yeah. Oh, you blasted little...
Can you handle all that?
Sure. Yeah, it's got it.
Pile some more on me, huh?
Let's start.
All right. Come on.
Okay, you see
this? And I do. Watch your step now.
Oh, I'm an old man.
I'll help you. Anytime.
Mm, that's not off.
Yeah?
Come on. Morning, sleepyhead. So you finally got up, huh?
Morning, Mark. Hello.
Don't I get kissed?
Coffee will be ready in a minute.
It's always an old grouch in the morning.
Where'll I put these things?
Oh, I'm sorry. On the bench over there.
Phew. They were getting heavy.
How's the coffee coming?
I'll take care of it.
Don't be so gloomy.
What a day, Liz.
Honey, if you think Jose's funny at night, you ought to see him in the morning. You two get on beautifully. You could grumble away at each other to your heart's content.
He wouldn't sell us everything we wanted. He
said it wasn't fit food for the sea.
Joe's only been open for 15 minutes.
Huh?
I've been up for a half an hour.
Taking that coffee, Sullivan.
It's ready.
Good. I think we got everything. We can shove off whenever you say. Thanks.
How'd you make this?
2 to a cup. What's the matter with it?
Nothing, dear. It's very good.
Tastes all right to me.
Well, thanks.
What do you say? Shove off?
Yeah, I guess so.
You take it easy, Liz. I'll get the lines.
Gonna live like a queen with 2 men aboard.
Come on, Mark.
Yeah.
You handle the engine okay?
No, I think so.
We'll holler when you're ready, huh?
Yeah.
Ready?
Okay.
Clear on the bow.
Clear on the stern. Okay, Mark, take her away.
All clear.
Hey, you can really handle this thing.
Thanks.
Nice takeoff, Skipper.
Yeah.
Honestly, Mark.
Well, where to?
I don't know. Thought we'd go out to the shoals, just kind of look around.
Oh, that's no way to go treasure hunting.
No?
Look, according to my information, the last contact in 1935 was made at 7010-2050. There's been a lot of dives since then, but that was the last one that really brought anything up.
Well, let's start there.
Of course, the tides have probably moved the wreck some, but it's worth a try. Okay?
Okay.
Good. Where am I going to bunk?
Up forward in the forecastle.
I'll go stow my gear.
Bring you some blankets in a minute.
I'll come up and smell you as soon as I get settled, Mark.
Really, Mark, don't you think you're being a little silly?
Am I?
I think you are.
You better go up and take care of your guest.
All right. I will.
There. I hope we find something today.
Yeah.
There. The belt too tight?
No.
Okay, Liz, start the pump. I still think I ought to go down.
Well, you've been down every day for a week.
And on your feet. You'd think we'd find something in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Pressure's up.
Nothing to it today. Not more than 100 feet of water.
Yeah, I know.
Grab the ladder.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Here comes your lid.
Intake.
Check.
Exhaust.
Check. Check. Yeah.
How you doing, Mark?
Where's Liz?
Oh, she went below. Why?
Nothing.
I'll handle you.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you your 25-foot levels.
Okay.
Yeah, there's your first one.
All right.
How you feeling?
Getting cold.
You're lucky. Like an oven up here.
I know. Give me more air.
Okay. Not too much. That's 50.
Right.
How's your visibility?
Not bad.
Tell better when you get the bottom.
Yeah. More air.
Take it easy.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, but...
More air.
75.
Right.
Want to rest a minute?
No. Start easing off.
Check. You're down yet?
Nope.
You're out at 100 now.
I keep feeding.
Right.
Bottom.
Good. How's visibility?
About 50 feet.
Now how's the bottom?
Sandy. Level. Slopes off to the south. Uh-huh. Coral reef north. Lots of vegetation.
See anything?
No. Look, keep my lines taut. I don't want to get stuck in this sand.
Right. How's it feel?
Well, it seems firm.
I never can tell.
No. You got my lines up?
Yeah.
I'm moving out.
Take it easy. How you doing?
Okay. Wait.
What's the matter? You all right?
Shark. He didn't see me.
You want to come up?
No, no. He's gone.
I remember once off Florida...
Now keep my lines up.
Yeah.
It's tough going.
See anything yet?
No. As soon as I get out around this reef...
Take it easy. Only been down 10 minutes.
Want to get a look down the slope.
Watch your air.
Yeah. A couple of feet more. Paulson.
Yeah?
Something up ahead.
What?
I can't tell yet.
Look like a ship?
It might be.
Come on up.
What?
We'll both go down this afternoon.
You crazy?
Now, come on.
No. I'm getting closer.
See it yet? You see it?
Yeah. It's a ship, all right.
What kind?
Can't tell. Topside's all gone. Hull's half buried.
Get closer.
Yeah. The high quarter deck.
That's it.
Must be...
What's the matter?
Air.
What?
I'm losing air.
Harry, the pump's stopped.
What?
Give me air, Paulson.
Pump stopped.
Must be out of gas, huh?
Give me air.
Hurry.
Yeah. Air.
Hang on, Mark. Hurry.
Air.
Mark.
They got the air down to me in time and brought me to the surface. Liz said if Harry hadn't acted as fast as he did, the accident might have been more serious. But was it an accident? I didn't know. Liz had checked that pump before I went down. If it had been empty, surely she'd have noticed it. But she didn't say anything more about it, and I wasn't going to bring the subject up. I couldn't afford to be wrong. Liz suggested that we head back to port and have a doctor check me over. I told her I'd be all right, but she wouldn't listen. It took us 2 days to get back to Puerto Plata, and they made me stay in my bunk the whole time. By the time we made port, I was feeling fine, but Liz insisted that I stay on board while she went for the doctor. A half hour after she left, Paulson said he wanted to take a look at his boat and left me alone. I waited for an hour, then I got restless and headed up to Joe's. Yes,
Señor Johnson.
Hello, Jose.
Jose?
Huh? Oh.
You do not want to joke, eh? You are tired, see?
Oh, I'm okay.
Señor Paulson said you are sick.
No, I'm okay.
You want a drink, see?
Yeah, give me a whiskey.
Okay.
You see, Paulson?
See?
How long ago?
Maybe half hour. He talked to the boss.
What boss?
Man, what one the boat?
What boat?
Chris
Craft?
Si.
You mean that's not Paulson's boat?
No, senor.
Hmm.
You do not drink?
Hmm?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, senora's medicamente, she's ready.
What?
Senora's medicamente.
Liz didn't order any medicine?
Si, Senor Paulson came this morning and wanted medicamente for senora.
Must be a mistake.
No, not mistake. He says, Senora, come later.
Let me see it.
It's all wrapped.
Let me see it.
Okay. It's all wrapped.
Must be a mistake.
No. Medicamente, see? Si. Senor, the wrapping.
Veronol. 10% barbituric acid. This is poison.
See?
Si. Why?
Maybe.
Listen, Joe.
Huh?
I think this is a mistake. Liz doesn't want this stuff, but I gotta know.
No, it's not.
I want you to wrap this up again, you understand?
See?
Don't say anything to Liz when she comes in.
See.
Now hurry up. I'll prove it was a mistake.
You see, Jose is not wrong.
You all right, Mark?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Well, when you weren't at the boat, we thought you might have gotten sick.
I just got restless.
Well, the doctor's down at the
dock. What took you so long?
Well, he was out on a call when I got there.
Uh-huh.
That's right. I ran into Liz outside his office.
I believe you.
Come on, Mark. I don't like to keep him waiting.
Sure. You want to pick up anything while we're here?
Can't think of anything, can you?
Nope. See you, Joe.
See you.
I sure like that sled of yours, Paulson.
Oh, thanks.
Maybe we can take a spin in her before we shove off.
Yeah, maybe.
Say she's good for about the... What's the matter?
You two go ahead.
Huh?
Just remembered I want to get some eggs at Joe's. I'll catch up to you.
Everything fell into place, but none of it made any sense unless they'd known each other before. It didn't seem possible that Liz could... Yet they say under the right circumstances, anybody is capable of murder. But I had to be sure. I had to be. The doc checked me over and said I was in perfect shape. Paulson was anxious to get back to the wreck, so we shoved off that afternoon. That night, I got out of my bunk while Liz was asleep, found the poison in her locker, and threw it overboard. When I got back in the bunk, I lay there listening to the water slapping against the hull, thinking it all over. I decided there was only one thing to do. First dive I made, I'd pretend I was in trouble and call topside for help. If Liz came down, I'd know I was wrong. If she didn't, it'd be too late to do anything about it anyway. When we got out to the wreck, Paulson suggested I make the first dive. Liz was handling my lines, and I knew it wouldn't be long.
That's 75, Mark.
Right.
How do you feel?
I'm okay.
Don't rush.
Start slacking off.
Right.
Hold it.
What's the matter?
Coming down alongside the wreck. Move me over about 30 feet.
Which way?
South.
Right.
A little more.
Right.
That's got it. Now, lower away.
Uh-huh. Down yet?
Nope. I'm aboard.
Where'd you land?
Right amidships. Hatch, here. There, I got it.
Take it easy.
I'm going in. Lines fouled in the rigging.
Hey, Can you work him loose?
No. No. Help me, Liz.
Harry Mark's in trouble.
Help me.
You gotta go down.
Liz.
I'm gonna leave your phone for a minute, Mark. Hang on.
Yeah.
Well, that's that.
Harry's on his way.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch over you over to his phone, Mark.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
I'm coming down your lines. Hang on.
Yeah.
Won't take me a minute.
I know.
I got 50 feet already.
That's 75, Harry.
Right. More air, Liz.
Hurry.
Start slacking off.
Right.
I'm over the wreck, Mark.
Yeah.
Bottom. Where are you?
Aft.
Check.
Find him.
I see him.
Over here, Paulson.
Let me help you, Mark.
Hmm?
Is he all right?
Let me...
No, no.
I'll just...
No, you don't.
Fix you.
Let go of my line.
What?
I'll get him free.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Let go of my line. That's better.
Now, Paulson.
Mark.
I can't get up.
See how you like it.
Get away.
What's the matter?
Let go of my lines.
Fun, huh?
Here, please. Air.
Stop.
How's it feel?
Stop it.
No. Air.
Mark.
When I signal, bring us up.
All right, help me with this lid.
Yes.
There.
Will it be all right?
There. He'll be okay.
What happened?
Maybe your guest will tell you. Come on, Paulson. Snap out of it.
My wreck. Mine.
What?
You can't have my wreck.
Nobody wants it.
What's he saying?
Open your eyes. That's better. Now look at me. Why did you do it?
My wreck. I found it 2 years ago. No more money.
He had a boat.
It wasn't his. Well, go on.
Had to use your gear. Then when we found the wreck, it tried to kill you.
What do you mean?
Turned off the pump.
It wasn't out of gas.
No. Just turned it off. But she came out.
Yeah. What about the poison?
She made me promise not to tell.
Paulson. Not to tell what, Liz?
He saw me go into the doctor's.
Doctors.
Remember the time I blew up?
Yeah.
I didn't feel well after that. As soon as we got back to port, I went to the doctor. Said I'd strain my heart badly.
Heart?
Yeah. That's why I wanted someone else along, so if anything happened to you... He said I couldn't dive again.
That's why you went off by yourself?
Yes.
The medicine was for you.
A sedative. Harry knew about it. He must have been afraid to have it on board. First night out, he stole it.
Yeah. Why didn't you tell me?
I couldn't. I knew how much you love excitement and fun and... I didn't want to spoil it.
Honey.
Said I had to be very careful. I might last 50 years or 5 minutes. That's not fun. I wanted so much.
Let's get this scow back to port.
No more diving for treasure?
Oh, there's nothing down there worth having. It's all up here, honey.
Is it?
Come on. We got about 50 years of rocking to do.
Deep Water, a story of one thrilling moment in a man's life that can only be called high adventure. As Mark Johnson, you heard John Larkin with Connie Lemke, Maurice Tarplin, and Ross Martin.
High Adventure, on Tuned to Yesterday from June 4th, 1950 on NBC. It's an hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now one of the several writers to contribute stories to Richard Diamond, Private Detective, and Hopalong Cassidy has a story next for Escape. It's Herb Purdom's Macau, starring Raymond Burr. This from July 18th, 1951, on CBS.
You, finding life rather dull, dreaming again of exotic places, wishing you were somewhere else. we offer you escape.
Escape with us now to the most evil city in the Orient, and the story of a beautiful but unscrupulous woman who ruled it, as Herb Purdom tells it in his exciting story, Macau.
The streets are dark. It's raining on my hair, my good dress. All very unimportant now. I only know it's a good night to die. Where do you begin a story like mine? I think it began when the devil gathered the filth and evil of the world. He shaped it into a city and placed it on the south coast of China. He named it Macau. And because the devil enjoys a bad joke, he made me queen of Macau's rottenness. And worse, he made me like it. Maybe you've wanted something. Wanted something so bad you'd kill to get it. I did. I wanted a city. This city. I wanted to own every grimy cafe and waterfront dive in it. I did get some of it. A lot of it. But the more I got, the more I wanted. And I nearly got it, too. Then 6 days ago, things began to go wrong. It was at the harbor front one afternoon. Out of my way, you scabby bums. Out of my way before I take disinfectant to you. That's right, you stinking rabble. Make room.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Rawls.
Let go of my arm, Marza.
Did you want something on the docks?
Your men have been operating in the city. Your province is on the water, Marsick. You're out of line.
So, there's plenty left for you?
I see. All right, Marsick.
And don't forget that on the docks, I'm king.
Yeah? Well, long live the king, only don't bet on it. Goodbye, Marsick.
Wait. There's no reason for us to fight. I'll do
anything. Goodbye, Marsick.
Yeah, of course, only if I offended you, Mrs. Rawls. I'm sorry. We could be friends. I'm on your side.
You just be sure you're on my side.
Well, lady, that man bothering you?
What?
If you're unhappy with the way that big character's heart acts, maybe I can help.
His heart?
Sure. It just keeps beating and beating. It needs a rest.
Oh? Who are you?
Johnny Hook. Oh, don't bother to introduce yourself. Everyone in Macau knows Mrs. Connie Rawls.
Then you should know I need no help.
I've pretty good references. A fellow named Vic Rawls once wrote me I had a job here if I wanted to claim it.
You knew my husband?
Yeah, we were bunkmates in the AVG. Did a little smuggling together once. I heard he was killed.
2 years ago. Where have you been?
I just finished a hitch with Lu Chan.
The guerrilla leader?
Yeah.
The one they call the White Tiger?
Well, the commies call him worse than that. Mao would hock his hammer and sickle to see old Lu Chan hanging by his heel.
I know. Lu Chan's guerrilla army is still holding nearly half of southern China.
That's right.
Look, my headquarters, the Red Angel, is near here. We can talk there.
Swell.
Perhaps. If you're what you say, you may have a job. If not, well, at least you'll have a chance to taste Willie's punch of the devil. It's good.
And you add a jigger and a half of cognac and a dash of bitters. Then take a lemon, twist, and rub it gently. That's very important. You rub it gentle around the rim of each glass. See, most guys toss the twist into the drink, but that way, you know, it's too strong. All you want is just the stink of a lemon. Here you are. You wrap a tongue around a punch of the devil.
Thanks, Willie. I don't know about the drink, but your monologue will do. Hey, that's all right.
I told you. Well, dummy, what are you waiting for, a medal? Get out. Get down to the bar.
Sure, Mr. Ross, sure.
You know, that's what I like, a dame with sentiment. Why didn't you just kick him in the stomach and be done with it?
He's used to me.
I'll bet he is. You know, you're pretty, you're smart. I can see why Vic married you. But how do you run a setup like this? Vic spoke Cantonese. He knew the people. You?
It isn't necessary.
All brain work, huh? Well, honey, you gotta be human, too. You gotta understand feelings. Like this one, for instance. There.
Is that all?
No. No, I'm liable to kiss you again.
Fusung.
What? Well, sliding panels. Who's the Chinese gun toter?
The name is Fusung, foolish one.
Huh? You look a little old to be playing games. Honey, aren't you being a little melodramatic over a kiss?
Shut up.
Oh, now, look.
Shut up! You think you're tough, Johnny Hook. Too tough to obey a woman. Will Fusung teach Casanova the penalty for misjudging me?
Oh, now, hold up, sister. All I did... You!
Give him another one, Fusung. I don't want him to make a mistake about me again.
As you wish.
I think he's softening, Fusung. Pull his head back. He's dripping blood on my rug. All right, Johnny, you're not out. Let's talk a little. What's your name?
Johnny Hook.
The real one.
John Butterfield.
We'll call you Hook. You say you knew Vic. Describe him.
Tall, dark-haired. He had a scar over his right eye.
How'd he talk?
Drawled. He was a Texan.
You wanted any place?
No.
Ever kill a man?
Sure, in the war. Who didn't?
Otherwise?
A couple. Look, what's with all the talk?
Why'd you quit Luchan?
Luchan? You fought for the White Tiger?
Sure. Sure, but my salary started coming in the form of promises. I like to get paid for my work. So?
That is the economic necessity of life. But you must tell me of Lui Chan sometime.
Later, Fusung. Johnny, you wanted to know how I run this setup. Well, Fusung handles the Orientals. He speaks a dozen dialects.
Go on.
As a rule, I don't hire white men. I can't be trusted.
Maybe I'm an exception.
Maybe. We'll see. Your first job will be on a man named Peter Marsick. I want six of his boats destroyed tonight. You'll be supplied with bombs and a fast speedboat. While I talked, I watched. I knew from watching him take Fusung's blows that Johnny was tough. I hoped he was tough enough, for I was lining him up for the world's most dangerous murder.
Dark, little one.
We can still see Johnny's boat ahead.
You take quite an interest in him. Would you like some gum?
No.
It is good gum, made in your country. Chewing gum quiets your nerves.
There's nothing wrong with my nerves. Pull into this cove. We can watch from here.
Yes. He is ready to make his run. I hope all goes well.
Yeah.
Shall I mount the machine gun in the rear? If he is pursued too closely, I can discourage them from here as they pass.
Perhaps you'd better. But if it's the police, don't shoot.
Of course.
He started his run.
The gun will be ready in a moment.
He's at the line of boats. There they blow.
An unfortunate waste of good boats, little one.
I want to be sure Marsick never challenges me again. This'll stop him.
Indeed it will. Those boats cost Marsick a fortune. There. The gun only needs loading.
Here comes Johnny. He's got his boat wide open.
Behind him it is clear. No. Little one, look. A police cruiser.
Police? Stop them.
But little one, you know we must not fire on the police.
Stop that cruiser. The men are forward. Try for the engine's aft.
No, little one, this is insane.
Stop that cruiser or I'll ram it.
Very well.
You did it. They're on fire. They're jumping.
Please, little one, let us go.
Yeah.
All for that stranger. You are a fool.
Shut up, Fusung. I run this thing.
You are angry, little one. We will discuss it later. Ah, no more disaster. I'm out of gum.
You just started a new stick.
It is unfortunate, but I swallowed it.
Hi, Connie. Everything quiet?
Come in, Johnny.
Well, honey, Marsick's boat's a matchwood now.
Mrs. Rawls.
Mrs. Rawls? I got away clean, but someone did a devil of a lot of shooting behind me.
You idiot, you forced us to sink a police cruiser.
I forced you? You mean that it was you behind me?
Fu Sung and I. You're not with Liu Chan fighting the communists now, Johnny. Fights cost me money.
Oh, how?
The cops. Well, they won't be able to prove anything, but that's because I dumped a machine gun worth $600.
I'll steal your new one.
Forget it. You did a good job on the boats.
Thanks.
Little one. Inspector Kaiwan, downstairs in the club.
Thanks, I'll be down. Johnny, you better get out of here and stay out for a day or so. Use the back stairs.
Right. Oh, and Connie, Mrs. Rawls.
Yeah?
Thanks.
For what?
My life. It's not much, but I like it. You know, if I can keep you around, I may die a natural death yet.
I gave Johnny 3 minutes. Then I went down to the nightclub. The Red Angel wasn't only a good front, it was something else. Something special. Just for me. It was smoky enough for a 5-alarm fire. And the combined smell of liquor, perfume, and unwashed bodies was enough to make a buzzard back off. But to me, the Red Angel had never lost its fascination. I wouldn't have traded it for heaven.
Mrs. Rawls, Inspector Kaiwan.
We've met on many occasions.
Yes, indeed. The number of our meetings has not dulled my enjoyment of your beauty, madam.
Yeah. A drink?
Thank you. No. It is my sad duty to try and discover proof of your activities last night.
Yes.
If you were I, would you use trickery or threats? Fu Sung has given me your alibi. Your boats, of course, have been prepared for our visit.
Is that all?
I would like to chat for a while. Perhaps I can trick you.
You've had your visit. Unless you bring a charge against me, get out. Cops give the place a bad smell.
Is it possible? Nevertheless, a year ago, you were more cautious with me, madam. You have given me hope at last.
Hope? What hope?
The most powerful drug in the world is power. The addict destroys himself. And you, madam, have become an addict. Good night.
I was always fascinated by the smell of evil. Even when I was a little girl, I used to pretend my dolls were... Well, no matter. Let's say I was bad to begin with. The only wages I wanted to earn were the wages of sin. Above all, I wanted to be bad in a big way. And in Macau, 6,000 miles from my hometown, I made it.
It's only me, Mrs. Rawls. Willie.
Well, come on in, dummy. Don't stand there.
Yes, ma'am.
2 drinks, Willie. And make them good.
You oughtn't to talk like that to me, Mrs. Rawls. Call me a dummy. That isn't very nice.
Oh, shut up. Just mix the drinks and turn on that blasted fan before I suffocate.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to leave you, Mrs. Rawls. I'm going home.
Sure. The drinks, Willie. Dream about home tomorrow.
I will. That's when I'm gone. I saved my money. See? It's all in this wallet. I'm going home after 10 years.
Well, you really do have the money.
Yes, ma'am. I'll make the drinks.
Do that.
Evening, Connie. Oh, hi, Willie. How's the drinking business?
Oh, people still doing it. They always do it. I'm going home, Johnny. Tomorrow.
Willie!
I'm going home after...
Willie, Johnny's not interested. Get out.
Sure, Mrs. Ross. Sure.
What are you trying to prove, Connie?
What do you mean?
Kicking that poor guy around. Does it make you feel good?
He's a dummy. He doesn't care. Help yourself to the drinks and hand me one. I'll call down and make amends to Willie.
Yeah, you do that. Here you are.
Thanks. Fusung, Willie's on his way down. Give him the night off and tell him the drinks are on me. Yeah, champagne. And listen, he's carrying a bankroll. See that he doesn't have it in the morning. Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, and that champagne. Make it the cheap kind.
So Willie doesn't get home after all?
He's a good bartender when he's sober. And I like these.
Well, that's a good reason to bust a man's drink.
Inspector Karwan has dropped his investigation.
He knows it's you.
He can't touch me. I'm too big.
Yeah, you're too big.
But it's nothing to what it will be. And you too, Johnny. If you can bear the way I treat my bartender.
No, I'm a louse already. I may as well go all the way.
$250,000?
What?
Help you make the trip?
Quarter? Hey, how many of those drinks have you had?
You want in?
Do I want to breathe?
It's a big order. Dangerous job.
So was the war, only it didn't pay so well. Go on.
Mao's communists are taking over in China. I'm going to help them for $250,000. And?
And?
Macau.
Macau? You mean the whole city?
The whole city.
Well, I give you credit, baby. You go nuts in a big way. Well,
I've made the deal.
All right, break it down for me.
It's very simple. You'll assassinate the guerrilla leader, Lu Chan. Johnny's face was the color of blue cheese as he stared at me. But I knew the power of money over men like him. That $250,000 would buy better scruples than his. And in case he needed extra encouragement, I gave him an additional promise and a kiss. We both liked it.
Oh, baby, baby.
Johnny, again.
You love me?
Yes. Yes, I do. Johnny?
Hmm?
You'll do the job?
Sure. I'll start making plans right away.
Good. Keep in mind what you're working for. $250,000. Me. Now drink your drink, honey. The ice is melting.
Eight, nine, ten. Your play, little one.
I should stop now. I never win against you, Fusung. Four of diamonds.
Mrs. Rawls, you gotta give it back to me. You stole my money. It ain't right. Give it back.
Now, Willie, don't blame me if you got drunk and were rolled.
Please. I saved for 10 years to get that money.
Jack of hearts to you, Fusung.
You give it back to me or I'll kill you. See, I got a gun.
Don't be a fool, Willie.
She is right, Willie. Don't be a fool. There are at least 200 men who would make sure you never left Macau alive. They would get you in an alley, in the street, somewhere. You know they would.
All I want is my money. Maybe I'll tell the police.
Who's your next of kin, Willie?
But my next of kin?
Your health is getting bad.
No, wait. I didn't want to blab the police. I was just kidding.
I was sure you were. Get out of here, Willie, and leave the gun.
Sure. Sure, Mrs. Ross, sure. Here.
That dummy. Cut his salary $10, Fusung. He saves too much. Three to you.
Gin.
Gin? I have the devil's own luck. I guess I just don't live right. That's nice, Frankie.
Little one, it's been a good night. The money flowed in.
Good. Tell Willie to make me a drink. Go on, Frankie.
Good evening, Mrs. Rawls. It is indeed a lovely melody.
No, hello, Inspector. Slumming?
Slumming? I do not believe I understand this word.
Forget it. Play some more, Frankie.
I brought you word that I thought might distress you. Peter Marcet.
committed suicide an hour ago.
So?
So it is considered humane to be sad when an acquaintance meets violent end.
Especially when I'm supposed to have blown up his boats and driven him to it, huh? Get out of here, Brass Hat.
As you wish. You seem to hold my work in great disfavor.
Look, Inspector Carwan, I don't like cops, and I don't like you. So do me a favor and stay away from me.
Good night, Mrs. Rawls. Oh, good evening, Mr. Hook, I believe.
Yeah. Good evening, Inspector. Carwan, I believe.
Carwan.
Hi, Connie. That's a nice tune. What is it?
Softly as a morning sunrise. My favorite. Thanks, Frankie. Come on over to the bar, Johnny. I've got a drink waiting.
Here's your drink, Mrs. Rawls.
Wally, fix me one, will you? I need it.
Sure.
Well, Johnny, figured out your plan?
Yeah.
Well? Oh, don't mind Willie there. Tell me.
I figured out a way to kill Luchan, but I'm not going to do it.
Say that again.
You heard right, Connie. I'm out of the deal.
Yeah, Johnny.
Thanks, Willie. Oh, boy, you're still as good as ever.
Thank you. Glad you like it.
Johnny Hook, you're not backing out of this deal.
I'm already out. Oh, look, Connie, you had me tabbed right, I guess. For that kind of money, I'd kill a man. But not if it means the end of what a lot of guys I knew died for.
Died for? This'll mean more power for us than we ever dreamed of.
I don't dream. I have nightmares.
How about you and I, Johnny? Doesn't that count at all?
I told you once, Connie. Sometimes it isn't just brain work. You have to understand the way people feel. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Johnny! Johnny! You stupid sentimental fool. You're forcing me to...
Another drink, Mrs. Ross?
No, I'm going upstairs. Clean up and lock up. And if you drink any of the liquor, pay for it.
Just finished. Would you care for some gin rummy?
Johnny Hook has just betrayed us. He just left. You know what to do.
Johnny? But how?
Never mind how. Pass the order along.
You know what you are doing. Once I give that order, he is a dead man.
That's the kind of a man I want him to be. Do as I say.
Yes. Good night, little one. I will tell them to make it quick. You will never know what happened.
Johnny would never know, but I would. I sat at my desk staring through two blank eyes at the room. Only I was seeing Johnny walking Macau Street, past this alley and the next, always going closer to the one that held his death. I looked out at the window and saw it was beginning to rain. Go away.
I give the order, Mrs. Rawls.
Then go away. What did you call me?
Mrs. Rawls.
But I'm your little one. You always...
There is no little one. You killed her when you plotted to betray my people.
What? So Willie shot off his mouth.
As you say, Willie shot off his mouth.
All right, so I didn't tell you about it. I would have cut you in on it later.
Even now you do not understand. You betrayed my people, the men who make up your organization, me. Louis Chan is all that stands between us and communist slavery.
Get a soapbox, patriot. Everybody's waving a flag tonight.
I wished only to tell you that you are through in Macau.
You're forgetting I own this place. This and all the other places, the cars, the boats, the guns, everything.
But I control the men.
So I'll get new men. Now get out. Get out. Get out, I'm sick of the sight of you.
Certainly. Only, it is just fair to tell you, Mrs. Rawls, the penalty for betrayal in our organization is death, as you know. I passed the order for yours. Tonight.
Fusang! How could it happen? One moment I was all powerful and my plans were set to make me owner of Macau. And then I was alone, my power gone, and I was just another woman. No. Not even that. For there outside the wet window was my death waiting for me. Somehow I found myself driven to meet it. I went down and out into the rain.
Well, hello there, cutie. How's about a nice warm drinky, eh? Hey, what's the matter? Too big to drink with a sailor? Snooty dame.
Which one? Which doorway will it be? Rain is so clean. The cow glistens like a polished black diamond now. I wish I'd gotten up early more often. I never realized how wonderful it is to see a sunrise. I like walking in the early morning. Perhaps if I hurry, I can catch Johnny.
Under the direction of Norman MacDonald, Escape has brought you Macau by Herb Purdom, starring Michael Ann Barrett and Stacey Harris with Raymond Burr.
Escape, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 18th, 1951 on CBS. That wraps up this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's Yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.